in the Word of God. My wife came down today. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to type this thing out. My writing's so messy." Amen. Boy, God's a flooding my soul, feeding my heart. I didn't get it all typed out, though. Amen. My wife used to kid me about keeping in school. She said, "You just want to." She'd say, "You want to become a doctor so you can have an excuse for writing some messy." I don't know if I'm a doctor of anything, but I sure am trying to learn. Amen. I sure am grateful to be at church, and I love the Bible. I love talking about the Bible. I love all yesterday. I got to talk about the Bible. Woo! Had time. Man, a lot of folks didn't even know there's a church back here. You wouldn't believe the people who didn't know there's an independent Baptist church right here. Boy, I'm just thinking, Lord, you're just stretching out the tent pegs to Columbus, North Carolina. Lengthening, great God. Now, you don't think the devil ain't going to kick up his heels when you stretch out your tent pegs on the radio broadcast. We just trust the Lord, going to put it on somebody's heart, pay for about 6 months. Amen. And Lord just taking care of it so far. We believe the prisoners come in. I went over there last Saturday. They said, "How are you at two places at one time?" I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I mean, listening on the radio." I said, "I tell everybody my pastor's on the radio." Yeah. Woo, amen. I went over there to visit with him. I mean, when you stretch out your tent pegs, try to do something for God, the devil's going to kick up his heel. I just want to go on record and say I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. He can kick him up, but God can kick him down. Say amen. I love the Bible. I love all the Bible. I have to say, well, John's one of my favorite books. One of them. Romans, one of them. I swim around in there a good bit. But John chapter number 10, look with me if you will, I'll read two verses, you can be seated. John chapter 10, verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me." Jesus said, "Because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power," this is good, "to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received." This commandment, to lay it down and to take it up again, have I received of my Father. You can be seated. Father, we love you today. I want to pray, God, that you'd help us to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you, dear God, for setting the tempo and Lord, conducting the atmosphere. And Lord, I pray today that there wouldn't be no temperature gauge Christians in the house. Lord, don't be one of them just go up and down based on the atmosphere. But God, may we be a thermostat Christian. Woo! Help us to control. Thank God, great God in heaven. I pray you put the temperature hand on the gauge and run it up and down as you see fit. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be one of them Christians that'll try our best, Lord, to be that on fire son or soldier or daughter of God that you'd have us to be. We pray, God, that you'd help us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We can't do it in and of ourselves, but we need your help. We pray, God, that today your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the Lord would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on this thought. God died for me. Jesus' death on the tree for you and for me. The text said, "I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again." Jacob is not here today, and me and him have had discussions over the last couple of weeks based upon a paper, brother, that he's doing for anatomy class. His anatomy teacher is sold out. He'll preach for every class. I like that. Believes the King James Bible. I like that. And so he'll break it out and begin. Very intelligent man. He says, "I want to know based upon anatomy. I want you to write a paper on how you think Jesus died. So with my son and I's discussion, books I recommended, research we do, sparked the thought in my mind for the message. Jesus said in verse 17, verse 18, "This commandment have I received of my Father." What commandment? He said, "No man taketh it from me." No man takes his life from him. I have power to lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. At Calvary, man done his worst, but God done his best. We see man's hatred at its most extreme, but we see God's love being fully expressed. Everything, it's like all of time and eternity intersected at Calvary that day. Time is split at that day. We gauge what day it is based on that day. Are y'all with me? Everything centers on that day. The day that God died for me. The day that he hung on the tree for you and me. Are we on the same page? So when we began to discuss this, Brother Jeremy, I took him over to 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 21. To which God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. If God had not done what he did, we would have had no hope of reconciliation. But because he did, he left us the word of reconciliation. We have a word of reconciliation. How man can get back to God, we've got the good word. We know how he can now. Based on Calvary, the great gulf that separated God and man can now be bridged. Ain't y'all glad of that? I want to understand this death of Christ a little bit. I want to look at it in four ways. Number one, the Christ's death at the cross is natural. It's factual. It's historical. But what I mean by using that word natural is it really happened. He did die at the cross. Are y'all with me? Right here, the text says, "I have power to lay it down. No man taketh my life." But he did have power to lay that life down. Am I right? Did he not go on to say in John 15, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." No matter how you put it, Jesus did die. The one who was taken by wicked hands, the one who was crucified, Jehovah's fellow, the mediator that Job looked for, God, he did die at Calvary. The blood it shed at Calvary was divine. The only thing Christ ever bought, barred a boat, barred a tomb, barred the cross, everything that he, but what he bought was the church with his own blood. Acts 20:28. Am I right? Oh, hallelujah. So we know, Brother Jeremy, he purchased us. The church has been purchased by the divine blood of God. He died at Calvary. Bloodshed, death. Hey man, I'm gonna get ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. How is it possible that God, who was in the beginning with God, who is very God, who made everything, and without him was not anything made that was made, how is it that he died? But I know how it is he died, because in verse 14, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. Are y'all with me? Incarnate God became carnate man. He who is supreme and sovereign was made in fashion, not as an angel, but as a servant. If y'all would not cut me off for the first part of the service today, we could have church. Are y'all with me? All right. Now I'm telling you, he was found and fashioned as a man. He became what the Bible says. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even obedient unto what? To death. Even the. That's what the Bible says. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Are we on? Are we together? So we know that he died, and he died for your sin and mine. How did he die? He became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us, died for us in our place of us. Are y'all with me? In spite of us, he loved us and gave himself for us and washed us in his, woo, and made us kings and priests. That made part and happened after the washed part, that happened after the gave part, that happened because of the love part. Are y'all with me? Now, the Bible said, Hebrews 2, y'all still, he tasted death for every man. That's what the book says. That's what the Bible says. For every man, he tasted death. Boy, I'm glad he did. He said to the Father, I commend my spirit. That's right. We see how natural and real the death of Christ was, and the fact that he said, I commend my spirit to the Father's hand. We see further because he's placed in the tomb and was there 3 days and three nights. His body was there while he is preaching. He that ascended, what is it? But that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. Kicked open the door. Kicked open the door. John the Baptist went in. They said, are you him? No, but I got to baptize him. He's alive. I seen him. Woo! Thank God. Amen. Then in come the door. The door got kicked in and smashed. Somebody took the keys, hung it on their vesture like a medal. He said, is that him? And John said, that's him! The Lamb! That's him! Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? And delivered the captivity captive and gave gifts to men. I said, we saw earthly, and I'll get to there in a minute. The graves open, saints walking around was just an outward testimony of what was going on right yonder. Y'all with me? He died. Yet, he liveth. His death is unique. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. But it's also natural. On the Father's side, I like that song. Chris, I like that song. On the mother's side, she held them hands, helped him walk. On the Father's side, he touched his blind eyes, took original mud parts, put them back in there. Woo! On the mother's side, she rubbed them little toes, probably kissed them feet. But on the Father's side, walked on water. Hey, are y'all with me today? Walked through the galaxies of glory, took his own blood. I'm having the time this morning. Are y'all with me today? Great God. Hey, on the mother's side, he lay in the tomb. But don't worry, he wasn't rotten. He lay in the tomb, thank God. Hey, on the Father's side, he's a preaching. He's having camp meeting in Abraham's bosom and knocked the door plumb off. And ain't nobody gonna ever go back yonder. He just took paradise on up to glory. Ha! Oh, death was our sting. Gone. Oh, grave was our victory. Gone. Where'd it go? The glory. and for God's people. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. He died. His natural is real. It's supernatural, though. It was unnatural. What I mean by that is, it was not only natural, it's unnatural. It's abnormal. The law says, matter of fact, a lot of places, by the way Ezekiel put it, the soul that sinneth, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we can admit, y'all pull in real close, death had no claim on Jesus. Am I right?
That's right.
Woo! Had power laid down, had power taken up again. In our text, John 10, are y'all with me? John 10, 17, 18. Had power laid down, had power taken up again. Why? Because ain't no sin in him. It's unnatural. It's abnormal. But that's nothing to surprise us. His birth was abnormal. He has the preeminence over all things. Yes, sir. He had a birth like nobody had. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. He had a life like nobody else had. Boy, Brother Tony, ain't it going to be one day good? One day when we can say we'll be like him, we'll see him as he is. We won't have his vile body deal with the mower. Hey, because he had a life like nobody. He said, I do always those things that please the. Boy, I wish I could say that. I want to say that, but I can't say. But he can say that. Hey, man. Hey, he did no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, he had no sin. 1 John 3:5, he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, death didn't have a claim over him. The soul that sinneth died, and he never sinned. Are y'all with me today? It's abnormal. Truth is, death is the wages of sin, and he had none. Had no claim on him. He was a holy one of God. Are y'all with me? Peter put it like this. He's a Jew. Peter was. He knew all about, he's cussing Jew. I don't know if you call him a practicing Jew. He old cussing fisherman Jew. Brother Landry tell you, them ain't nobody kiss like your Navy man. They been on the water. Ain't seen mama. Are y'all with me? They just about cuss for recreation's sake. Oh, am I right? Big old brawny. He wasn't a real. No, God went by and got the roughest crowd just to show you what he. I'm glad God likes the wrecks and the ruins. I'm glad God, somebody said he don't go to bars. I beg to differ. I remember times he got me out of them. Hey, man! Can I say, I didn't even know what was going on until one day he got me under such conviction. Can I say, hey, man! He had no sin. Peter said, I'm going to tell y'all that know what I'm talking about. He's a lamb that don't have a blemish and don't have a spot. Woo! They put him up 14 days. Am I right? 10 days. And then on the 14th day, intense investigation. Look at the time from when Jesus rides in on a donkey. The colt, the foal of an ass. Check that time from when he died. They had the same amount of time. They was over there checking the Passover. Pilate said, I can't find no fault in him. I say, amen, Pilate. Ain't no fault to be. I can't find no fault in it. I say, amen. Peter said, there ain't no spot and there ain't no blemish. Peter said, I've been up there seeing what nobody else ain't seen. Hey, I seen. I thank God I'm transfigured. I saw his glory break out. I know like nobody else don't know. There ain't no spot and there ain't no blemish. Whoa!
Right. Amen.
Brother Jeremy, therefore death had no claim on him. Couldn't find no fault on him. We say his death was unnatural because sin had no claim on him. It was a natural death. It really happened. It was unnatural. It was a death like no other death. He did not die because of the wages of sin that had to be paid for himself. But he took upon himself the form of a servant. He died for your sins and your iniquities that were placed upon. He who knew no sin, he became sin that we who knew no righteousness might become righteous. He became the serpent on the pole that day. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. I want to say glory to God. Death had no hold on him. Bless the Lord, but he took my place. God died for me and you. It's natural, but it's unnatural. Christ's death was predetermined. I already hit that a little bit. Predetermined. Some call it preternational or preternatural. Predetermined. Here's the thing, brother. Way back in the eternal counsels of God. Boy, this helps me. Before sin ever entered the world, Jesus was already all set and all ready, hey, to die. Hey, to save us from sin. Before sin ever entered the world, hey, thanks be unto God. Revelation 13:8 says, he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, thank God Adam was created. Thank God before the fall. Hey, man, the fall was anticipated before Adam was created. God already knew it was going to happen. It was already anticipated. It was already saw. It was already knew. It's not a second thing. God didn't have to back up, regroup, and go at it again. No, sir. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was already determined to die. The sovereign for the sinful, the sinless for the sin. Great God. Amen. Hallelujah. The just for the unjust. Another look at Romans 3:25. Y'all turn there with me. I never looked at it like this. But got to studying this. It came up. Told you couldn't stay out of Romans. Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. If in the counsels of God, he was not the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, then every Old Testament person who ever sinned would have died and went straight to hell. Or eventually to hell. Amen. To the torment side of hell. Are y'all with me? To the torment side of hell. They would have went immediately when they sinned. Oh yes. Or upon the death. But you know why they didn't? At the cross, Jesus dying at the cross of Calvary is sometimes called the undergirding of the cross. Hey, just a prophetic picture of it. Just because God knew it was going to happen and God ain't limited by time and space. Had them Old Testament saints that by faith looked ahead and saw it. Great God, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. I'm so glad he saw it. By faith he saw it and you and I seen it and it's all by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Here's already, brother. Hey, undergirding of the cross. I'm glad Jesus did die for your soul and mine. The death of Christ not only predetermined, unnatural, and natural, but it was supernatural. Let me say one more time. I've tried to say it throughout the whole message. It's supernatural. Oh, yes. Supernatural. Oh, yeah. Hey, our Lord laid down his life. Now, I'm going to try my best to show you. I do believe everything in this Bible. Can I get an amen? Y'all believe it all? Because if not, we might as well quit right here. Y'all believe it all? Y'all believe over there where it says in Psalms 22 that his tongue's going to cleave to the roof of his mouth? Y'all believe over there when it says, when I believe it happened, is when he raised up the cross and set it in that hole in the ground. Do y'all believe over there it said every bone was out of joint? Spine bones. Are y'all with me? Isaiah painted us a little bit of picture. He said his visage is so marred more than any man. His form, the very shape that he's supposed to be as a man is all out of whack. Isaiah tried to, to me when I look at that verse, he's showing us that his skin was like a glove holding all the bones in. Every bone's out of joint. Everything's out of joint. And yet he's still holding up his head erect. Now you say what you want. No man took his life. He laid it down for it. And I understand, friend, that he went through a lot of suffering. But I don't believe it inhibited his physical health. I don't believe it inhibited his mental health. I do know it bothered him mentally to see his mother in such anguish, the one that he cared for him. And I'm not dealing with that aspect. Surely it did. But I'm telling you, he was in full mental capacity while he was on the cross. Why do I say that? Colossians 1 says, by him all things consist. If it had not been so, the earth would have spun off into the outside of the Milky Way. God's a holding everything together. No man took his life, but he laid it down freely, and he had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it up. He's just God. Are y'all with me? Every bone out of joint, disfigured, bundle of bones, but not one bone broke. His death was supernatural. I do believe there was intense suffering that we don't even see. And the movie Passion can't portray. No matter how much you try with digital enhancement, you'll never fully explain or portray on a picture scene the physical torment that Christ went through. But even if you could, by some amazing technological ability, you would never be able to show the spiritual anguish of sin being placed on a sinless Savior. You'd have never been able, oh no, and the particle, that sack around the heart is full of water. And John said, when he's pierced his side, out came blood, water. But you wouldn't be able to see that there was water in there from the normal amount. I do believe. That his congestive heart failure. There was something going on there. Yes, sir, the suffering. Because of suffering and anguish and stress, you can develop a lot more water. I'm talking about medically. You can develop water so much that you'll see it flow. Hey, yes, I believe that. But even knowing every bone's out of joint, even knowing that suffering is swelling up, he's still God on the cross. Y'all with me? Woo! Now, supernatural. Y'all know his birth is different. Life is different, his death is different. In our text, in John 10, verse 17, 18. Therefore doth my Father love me. My Father loves me. It's as if he's saying, my Father loves me ain't going to let me die. That ain't the way most of us would think. We'd think, well, if my daddy loved me, he wouldn't let me die. That's not what he said. He said, my father loves me. We're in 100% agreement. Where the love has come to fulfill what the holiness of the law demanded. Because I love, and the Father loves, and the Spirit, because we as God love you three in one. Because we love you, because I love you. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And that's the commandment that my Father has gave me. Are y'all with me? What he said in the text. Now, flip over in John 18 with me. I don't believe. I won't stay long here. I want to show you, if we'll just look at seven places in the Gospels, just quickly, we'll see that his death was supernatural. All right? His death was natural. His death was unnatural. His death was predetermined. But his death was supernatural. And nobody died like him. Nobody born like him. Like nobody lived like him. He is the preeminent. Are y'all with me? The first of everything. He is all in all. Look with me in John 18. This is evident all the way back here to the arrest. John 18 verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden. A man fell in a garden, and man's going to get it back. Woo! Amen. In a garden. And to the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. You know what he oft time did? He oft time praying for you and me. Ain't that enough to make y'all want to shout? And we think we can get by one prayer of a few. Well, that's why we got to pray today. That's why we have a duty to pray. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, pray for them that are in authority. That's why we're having prayer meeting tonight. Hey, that crowd praying against it, we're going to pray. Are y'all with me? Amen. Hallelujah. If he prayed, he set the pattern. He's God. He's great God. He pulled apart to pray. Oh, help us, Lord. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 3. He knew where to find him because that's where he went to pray. And then having received a band of men, I wonder if anybody knows where your prayer place is. Woo! Great God. Thank you, Lord. Fresh in from heaven. Judas, verse 3. Then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests. Look at who's here. The officers, the chief priests, the Pharisees come hither with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Looks like an angry mob. Look at that. Going out to get. This is God. God, man, at his worst right here. Look at verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. You know what he did? He stepped between that crowd and them. I'm glad he's still stepping between you and the star. I'm glad. Great God, I just want to dance there a while. I'm glad he thanked God. He's stepping between me and the problem. He's stepping between me and the persecutors. He's stepping between me and the enemy. Woo! And I don't have to say nothing. He'll just speak up for me. He says, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't want to call him thou son of David. They wanted to put him down there on humanity level. Yeah, remember what he said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Remember what he said? All right, look what he said. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Look what he said. Jesus said unto them, I am. Now, I know it says he, but he said, I am. And when he said, I am, according to the next verse, that crowd fell back. All he said was, I am. He could have walked away quietly, peacefully. But he spoke to them again and said, I am he. Twice they had a witness. Twice, Rick telling them again who he was, identifying himself with the God that spoke to Moses. I am. Woo! He said, I am he. Hallelujah. And notice what happened. They fell backward to the ground. Verse 6. Hallelujah. He could have walked away. He could have walked right past them. I'm so glad this great God, no man took his life. He willingly gave himself over to their charge. And don't forget this, church. Hit me this morning. Well, hit me some days ago, but hit me this morning. They led him away. That's what's in the book. Anybody knows that a shepherd leads and a slaughter man drives. They didn't drive nothing. Are y'all with me? They didn't drive him. He was led as a lamb. That's what Isaiah said. Whoa, God, I can't help it. Great God, that's him. Isaiah done told us. Why couldn't they see it? Whoa, that's him. I'm he. Could have walked away. He had power to. But he gave himself to their charge. Look at Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 46. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried. Y'all there with me? Matthew 27, verse 46. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Some of you, if you believe it's in there, say amen. Amen. Okay, amen. Matthew 27, 46. Look what he said. Woo, ain't we having a time? Yes, get to go to church and get around the Bible. Look what it said. Verse 46. Amen. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Did y'all just see that? Now, look at four verses later. I believe, see, he cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is probably, by the way, the most solemn verse in the Bible. Yeah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Boy, that'll bring you down to, oh, Lord. Why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook God that you might never be forsaken as the sons and daughters of God. When you think you're alone, he was the loneliest of the lonely. They nobody knew lonely like he knew lonely. Oh, some of you feel deserted. Some of you feel like God's done you wrong. Oh, can I tell you, he done right by you all the time before you was ever born. He's forsaken, took your sin. Great God in heaven. Hallelujah. It's right here. Verse 47. Some of them that stood there when they heard that ye that said what was said, this man called for Elias. Straight one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. If, hey, they did not arrest him, hallelujah, he allowed them to take him, and he was led, not drove. Can anybody say amen? I like it that he apprehends us, but they couldn't even use that same term here. It was by wicked hands, but it was also by the determinate counsel of an almighty holy God. Amen. Yes, sir. Led. And in this text, we don't hear an exhausted voice. After I've run 16 laps, I'm barely talking. After we wear ourselves out, if we'd have went through what he went through, that's not what he knows. He's not exhausted physically. He lifts up his voice loud. Hey, he said these two things loud. He's in full control and physical. Every bone out of joint, heart swelling, particle heart. Hey, that heart swelling, that sac, or that heart swelling, but he's still God. No man takes his life. He lays it down for your sake and mine. It's right there in the text. You see that? He's not exhausted. Oh no. His strength not abated. His natural force, no sir. He cried with a loud voice, Brother Jeremy. Hey, sometimes a man working out or running, you can't hardly even, whew. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes my wife will say, honey, I can't hear you. I'm wore out. And if anybody ought to have been wore out, suffering hell for every human being on the face of planet Earth, compacted in one time at the end of the 6 hours hanging on the cross. Are y'all with me today? Not just having the physical pressures and the physical torture, that crown of thorns showing us that he's going to take the curse for us. Oh yeah, that evidence of the curse is going to be removed. He became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Suffering for your sin and mine, suffering for your hell and mine, suffering for everything that everybody had ever done. 3 hours compacted in darkness on the cross. And then he says with a loud voice, and then he says 4 verses, with a loud voice at the close of his life on this earth, he's still got a loud voice. That's why we ought to have a loud voice. Amen. Y'all with me? Not physically exhausted. Reminds me of Psalm 89. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Psalm 89, verse 19. He was not being conquered by death. He was conquering death. Are y'all with me? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Y'all turn over with me to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. Hallelujah. Boy, I like this. John chapter number 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, were now accomplished. Man, let's take a gander at that. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. I've said it just then because I say it many times. Notice how I said it, but how the book read. We don't mean to, but sometimes we have add a letter and we can seemingly take a little bit away from it. He did not say that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Look in verse 28. But that the scripture might be fulfilled. Say, preacher, what do you reckon he's doing? Well, he said, I thirst, Brother Jeremy, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was not exhausted physically. He was not arrested unwillingly. And he was not exhausted mentally. You know what he did, Brother Chris? He searched every scripture that he'd ever spoke and had written down through man. His God Almighty, his 100% God, 100% man. And there was one scripture that was yet to be fulfilled. And that scripture might be fulfilled, Psalm 69:21. Amen. He fulfilled Psalm 69:21. He was not hot depressed. He was not clouded in his mind. Oh no. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle and every scripture that everything might be fulfilled. I say amen. No man tooketh his life. John 19:30. Look what it said. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Notice what it said, brother. When it said he bowed his head, it indicates that it wasn't before that. His head was erect, though every bone was out of joint. How can that be? Tell me how that's going to happen. Because no man takes his life. Woo! Great God, some sit around. I shout for everybody. I'm telling you, friend, glory to God. I don't know how we stay so calm. And why we want to be disobedient. Great God in heaven, his bones is out of joint. That particle heart, that thing swelling up on him. He's still God, still talking with a loud voice, still fulfilling the scripture, still bearing your sin load and mine, and still said, have y'all got a hold of this? Brother Jeremy, he didn't fall down. He didn't slump over. He bowed his head. A sign of reverence. What godly character. No wonder the centurion said, truly, this is the Son of God. Woo! There wasn't no vulgarity in this man dying. Reverently, consciously, calmly, as if to say. Now, when me and my boys took karate, don't cut me off. Everybody okay? We took it from a Christian. Didn't have all that incense burning, voodoo rubbing. Yeah. Took it from a Christian. Shotokan, master, that's what they call him. But he didn't like to be called that. He said there ain't but one master. And them new people that come in would sometimes bow to him. And he would bow to them. Let me just say this right quick. And I ain't meaning to push no politics in it, but I'm going to anyway. Obama is the only wicked president that ever bowed. Are y'all with me? He bowed to some of them foreign leaders. Hey. Hey. But you know what God did? Woo. He bowed his head. He said, how did he come to be ministered unto but to minister? He's showing us that our life is it's more important than his death. I don't even feel right saying that. But I'm saying our life is at least possible by his death. And if he had not died, he bowed his head. It didn't flop to the side. It must have been a wreck the whole time on the cross of Calvary. He was God. No man took his life. He laid it down. Y'all with me? Luke 23:46. Y'all have heard me say this. He gave up the spirit. No one else died like this. We dealt with Stephen the other day. Y'all remember what Stephen said? Father, in Acts chapter 7. Let's see if I can find it. In Acts chapter number 7, oh Stephen, he said, Lord, receive my spirit. Why? Because it was being taken from him. He said, receive my spirit. But notice the difference with Jesus' words. His spirit is not being taken. He said, I commend it. The Bible said, I gave it up. In other words, dismissed. Woo! You know who has a power to dismiss a military formation? The one in charge of it. He was the one in charge. He reigneth from the tree. He, no man took his life. He gave up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. I say glory to God. He commended it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 23, verse 46 says he gave up the spirit. He commended it. But then look in John 19:31. When the soldiers come to break his legs, normally those who were crucified and even had been scourged would linger in sorrowful agony on the cross for at least 2 to 3 days. But nobody had the spiritual pressure that he had. Water, every bone out of joint, but he still got his head up. He's still talking with a loud voice. He's still dismissing the spirit. He's commending it to God. The tree is his throne. This is what he's accomplishing. He's tasting death. This is why he came. The Son of Man, he didn't come to just make everybody feel good and feed them a picnic. He said, the Son of Man has come. And why did he come? To seek and save that which is lost. That's why he come. The Son of Man didn't come for those who are well. He come for them that are sick. Them that think they're all right. He didn't come for. He come for the sickly. He come for the wounded. He come for the wicked. He come. Great God. And he's raining from the tree. And when the soldiers went to break his leg, they found him already dead. He had already dismissed his spirit. No man took his life. Because when they broke the legs, they could no longer lift up the body and catch another grass because they would drown in their old fluids of torture. Hey, but no, not with Christ. He ain't gonna be doing that. He dismissed his spirit. I say hallelujah. No man takes his life. He laid it down. He had power to lay it down. He had power to take it up again. But lastly, finally, and ultimately, when he died, there was a final demonstration. When he dismissed his spirit, God died for me. Jesus hung on a tree for you and me. No man took his life. He laid it down freely. This commandment was he given from the Father. God, the Father, loved us and loved him enough. And when he saw Jesus dying, it pleased the Father. That's amazing to me. Brother, when he died, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Brother, hey, Brother Tony, man couldn't rip it. He was saying access to God granted. When his body was rent from the broken body of Christ came the blessing of us having salvation. And when that top was rent from the top to the bottom, they said it was as thick as a man's hand. It was so thick two teams of horses, 10 horses apiece, could not pull it apart. Oh yeah, but that veil was rent like a piece of paper from the top to the bottom. And when that Ethiopian eunuch came into town, they tradition says they're sitting over the corner trying to sew it back together. I'm glad, great God, God's broke down the middle wall partition. It's not just for Jews, but it's for Gentiles. It's for everybody. I say glory to God. He's in charge of it. He's showing us, demonstrating to us that he had the power over death. Yes, sir. He rent the veil. The earth did quake. It didn't say there was an earthquake. It said the earth did quake. That's what it says in Matthew 27, 51 through 52. I believe the earth rocked on its axis. I believe that it was a shock wave the whole world for. And you know why? I believe creation was ashamed that something so vile was done to the one that made everything. The earth did quake. I mean, sure, yes, he was in charge of his death. No man took his life. Nobody died like this man. Nobody lived like this man. Nobody was born like this man. Oh, hallelujah. God died for us, brother. The veil was rent. The earth did quake. The rocks rent. What people use for foundation, old houses up. The very rent into, split into the strong part. The rocks rent, but the grave was open. The power of Satan has been eliminated. He does not have, we have no fear of death. He has no power. I'd say glory be to God in the name of Jesus and forevermore. He's alive. He was dead, but he's alive forevermore. And that's the keys of hell and death. And he beckons you to come. And whosoever he will come. And the spirit and the bride say come. And whoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. He's what you're looking for. If you're thirsty, Bud Dumber can't do it, and middle low life can't do it. But boy, Jesus can. Oh my. Miss Rhonda, can you come play? No matter if everybody in this building is saved. I was thinking about this, Brother Jeremy. Man, there's a whole lot more needs to be said. I was giving him all these books, Pearls of Calvary. Arthur Pink, giving him J.D. Jones, giving all these men, and about every book said, I'll never begin to be able to tell all about the love of God. And I said, this will be fit to read. Try this out.